Morning. Well, we had a great retreat last weekend, and very encouraging, great time spent together. Earl Lavender did a great job for us, but it is great to be back with everyone this morning with our church family. And of course, it's just a great time of year because it's just great weather, isn't it? Kind of perfect weather, just very enjoyable. It is our custom that a couple of our elders and their wives will be in the conference room after the lesson is over. If you are a person who feels like you could use prayer, they will meet with you there to pray with you. We take prayer very seriously and believe that God intervenes. And so if you would like these godly people, these wise people to meet with you, then you can go out the back door and down to the left to the conference room at the end of the lesson this morning, and they will meet with you to pray. We're studying the Gospel of John, continuing through life in His name this morning, covering chapters 8 and 9 if you want to follow along in your own Bibles, but the Scriptures will be shot up on the screen for you to follow along there. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we do seek Your light, but we confess that we do not always seek Your light, that very often we are content to live with some dark areas in our lives and so not experience the fullness that You would have for us. So as we reflect upon Your word this morning from the Gospel of John, ask that You would help us to have open hearts and open minds for the light to shine in so that we can experience the fullness You would have us to experience. It's through Your Son we pray. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I woke up about 3 in the morning and couldn't go back to sleep. Did you ever have that experience? Yeah, for you younger ones, wait till you get a little older. It happens more and more. And so I got up, and we have a nightlight in our room, and so I'm guiding my way out of the room, and there's a suitcase off to the left that I hadn't put away from some trip I'd been on, and over to the right is a dog. But fortunately, you know, it was just enough light for me to see that I could navigate through them. I go out the door, I go in the living room, do a little reading, watch some television until I feel tired enough to go back to bed. But I've turned all the lights on in the hall, in the kitchen, the living room, and now I've come back and I've turned them all off and finally turned the hall light off and step into the bedroom. Now the night light's on in there, but now I'm used to full light. And I step in the room and despite the night light, it is dark. And recall the suitcase and the dog. Well, the dog was saved, but my toe was not as it hit the suitcase. This is darkness. We know darkness. And when John talks about darkness and talks about Jesus as light, we get that because we've been in dark rooms and dark forests. We've been in dark places. And so we hear this, John chapter 8 and verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John chapter 8, if you've been reading it this week, you notice it's just full of conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders. First, they say that Jesus' testimony about Himself is not valid because it's just testimony about Himself. There's a little conflict of interest there. Like if you're trying to buy a used car from someone and you say, "Well, how is this car? What kind of condition is this car in?" And the guy says, "Oh, the engine's in great shape because I say so." Well, you would like a little something more than because he says so, right? Maybe a mechanic says so. You'd like some kind of other witness about that. And that's what they're claiming about Jesus. Well, you're just saying so yourself. You don't really have another witness. And Jesus says, "Oh, yes, there are two witnesses, Myself and the Father." And they engage with Him in debate about who is the Father. And Jesus says, "If you knew Me, you would know My Father. You would not ask such questions." And then Jesus changes direction with them. Chapter 8, beginning at verse 21. Once more, Jesus said to them, "I am going away, and you will look for Me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will He kill Himself? Is that why He says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" But He continued, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am He, you will indeed die in your sins." There is a reason, Jesus says, I keep talking and you're not hearing. It's because I'm up here and you're down here. You're of the world. I'm not of the world. I'm from above. You are from below. So you're thinking down here and you cannot hear what I have to say. And as long as you continue to think down here, you will die in your sins. Unless you believe, Jesus says, that I am He. Little side note here, the word He is supplied by the translators. In the original text, it just says, unless you believe that I am. And of course, all of us who know something about the story of the Old Testament hearken back to Moses on the mountain. And Moses wants to know who God is. What is your name? And God says, I am who I am. Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. And so we go on. Chapter 8, verse 25. Who are you? They asked. Just what I have been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you. But He who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from Him I tell the world. They did not understand that He was telling them about His Father. So they're still not getting it, right? He's still up here talking about things up here, and they're still down here. So we continue on, verse 31. To the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they say, well, what do you mean set free? How do you talk to people about being set free who don't really think they're in slavery at all? Because they say that, we've never been slaves to anyone. And if you're Jesus and anybody else just out there thinking, oh, have you forgotten all about that whole Egypt and Exodus story thing? What do you mean you've never been slaves to anyone? But really, I mean, that could have been said by any American, right? We've never been slaves to anyone. We got rid of King George a long time ago. We are the masters of our own fate. We have freedom in this country. Really? How many of you are or have ever been parents? Then you are a slave. You know what I'm talking about. You take the baby, lie him down, you go back in the other room, you go back and get him up, you sit him on the shoulder and rock him, put him down, and you put him in. Okay, who's the master and who's the slave there, right? Who's training who? I know I've been there. And now I've got dogs who have me trained. Right? You're going to hold me here at this time and do this and do that for me. But it's even more than that. We're not just talking about children who have us trained. We're not just talking about animals who have us trained. Sin. Satan has us trained. And we are slaves to our passions and to our desires, which is why we drink too much. It's why we cheat. It's why we lie. And it's why we steal. And it's why we work ourselves to death to get more and more and more. It's why we do things that later we said, I knew that was stupid. Why did I do that? Well, it's because you're a slave. Jesus said, you're slaves, all right. Slaves to sin. Which is the greatest ruse of all time, is to take people who are slaves and somehow make them believe that they're free, that they make all of their own choices. And so back and forth this debate goes between Jesus and these religious leaders. They say, Abraham is our father. He said, if Abraham was your father, then you would do the things that Abraham would do. Instead, you're trying to kill me. Then they say, well, God is our father. He said, God is not your father. The devil is your father. He's never been interested in the truth, and you're not interested in the truth. Then they say, well, you're demon-possessed. Demon-possessed? All I'm doing is here trying to tell you about how you can never die. Never die. Do you think you're greater than our father Abraham? And then Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, and there it is. He said it once again, and it's very clear this time. He's identifying with God. They get it. They pick up stones. They're ready to kill Him. Finally, they understand. They at least understand this about what He's talking about. And they are much like, interestingly enough, the man in the next story in chapter 9, the blind man. They are very much blind. And yet, in some ways, they are unlike this man. This guy's been blind since birth. And Jesus spits on the ground and makes mud to put on his eye. You got to know, he's thinking, could you not make mud some other way? But really, if you're going to be, you know, have your blindness removed, okay. Give me some spittle. But he makes some mud, puts it on his eyes, and he can see. What do you think if you're this guy's parents? or his friends. What do you think if you're this guy? You've never been able to see, and all of a sudden, light comes into your life. What do you think if you're the religious leaders? Well, we know, chapter 9, verse 13, this picks up where our scripture reading left off. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been born blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed it, and now I see. It's pretty simple, really, right? Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. What has Jesus done? He has shaken their world, their world of system and religion and how it all works. He's healed on the Sabbath. He's done something really good, but he's somehow disrupted how the religious system is working. He has healed on the system. He does not fit into their religious system. Therefore, he must be bad. He must be wrong. And what follows, the scene that follows, is actually a little comedic, because what happens is these guys come off as trying to get to the bottom of things, but they're really not trying to get to the bottom of things. They've already decided that the answer is 3. They're just going to try to figure out how 1 + 1 can equal 3. And so they bring in the blind man and ask him, and they don't like his answer, so they bring in his parents and ask them, and they don't like the answer, so they bring the blind man back in, and here's the second time now the blind man, or the former blind man, appears to them. The second time they summon the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" I'm like, were they not paying attention the first time? He answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Oh, he's getting a little snarky with them, isn't he? "Do you want to become his disciples too?" Well, they want anything but to be disciples of Jesus. And so they throw the guy out. "We're not going to hear it. Listen to you. You're a sinful person too." And I want you to hear the commentary that you get from Jesus at the end of this story. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains." He came for judgment, he said, which is really an interesting comment, because back in chapter 8, he says he didn't come for judgment. "You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one." So which is it, Jesus? Did you come to judge or come not to judge? Well, it's this way with light. Light comes into the darkness and it permeates everything. It goes all over the place. And when it does, it shines and brings life. But what if you're a person who does not want light? What if you want to stay off in the shadows? Well, now what light does is light brings judgment. The Pharisees think that they see, but the truth is they are really in darkness. It's very possible to be in darkness and not know you are in darkness. One reason for that possibly is because the darkness you're in is not pitch black. Maybe it's just kind of nightlight sort of darkness. About 8 years ago, I was sitting down by a lamp in the living room to read my Bible as I would customarily do in the morning. It was winter time, so it was dark outside. I had the lamp on and I'm reading. And all of a sudden, as I was reading, I was noticing I'm having to hold the thing further and further away, and the words are all blurry. There's something wrong here. And that's why I wear these now. But I also discovered in the short term that I could fix it if I turned on more light. Because more light made things more visible. Would you guys turn off the lights here in the auditorium? I want to show you something. Can you see? Right? I can see all of you. I can see people in the alternative auditorium out there in the fellowship hall. I can see my Bible, sort of. But all of a sudden, I can't see it very well. You know, it's a little, right? Bring the lights back up, please, so we can see here. So we have partial light in that situation, right? But what do we also have then? We have partial darkness. And many of us live our lives in partial darkness. I want you to notice what he says in verse 43. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. Have you ever tried to tell someone what was clear to you about their life and it's clear to everyone else about their life, but they could not hear what you were saying to them? There's no way what you were saying to them was right. That guy's bad for you. You need to stay away from him. You've been drinking way too much. You need to really think before you make this decision. But they can't hear it, or they won't hear it. They want what they want, or their pride won't let them hear it. We know who those people are, right? It's pretty obvious when you're dealing with those times. What we have a hard time with is knowing who those people are when those people are us. And someone is trying to tell us what seems so clear to them and to so many other people, but is not clear to us. Many of us live our lives by the nightlife. We're in the half light, half darkness. There are so many shadows. We're able to function in this half light. It's not like it's pitch black and we're really in this bad shape, right? You can function in half light. You can avoid the dog in the room in the half light. You can avoid going to prison in half light, but you're not experiencing the full light and the fullness of life that God would provide for you. And so you are settling for less than God wants you to have. Jesus came to give us more light, and therefore he says to give us life. He came to eradicate the darkness. At the very beginning of the Gospel of John, we heard these words from John. In him was life. Life. And that life was the light of all mankind. And in chapter 10, as you'll read this week, Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Not living in half light and half darkness. Not living with some shadows in your life. But living with full light so you can experience the fullness that God has for you, but some would rather have life to the half rather than life to the full. Some of us would rather live with half light. We don't want the light to shine into the dark places in our lives because then we're going to have to deal with the dark places in our lives, and so we'd rather ignore the light. And a lot of folks that do this are religious people. Jesus is dealing with religious people who want to do church but keep into the shadows in their lives. And this is the irony of the blind man. Because the blind man is healed. He sees, he wants to see. The Pharisees don't see because they don't want to see. You may be a person this morning who's living by the night light. You're functioning okay, you're getting by. But your relationships could be better. Your peace of mind could be better. Your purpose for getting up every morning could be better, but you won't let it be better because you won't let the light in, the full light, into your life so that you can have the life that God would have you to experience. I want to take you back to chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, and I want you to notice again what Jesus says here. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Have you ever been on a confidence course like this? Been on these confidence courses? Get to do fun stuff like this and like this. Do you know how you get confidence to do the confidence course? By doing the confidence course, right? It's by experiencing it and doing it. And so I take you back now. I want you to take you back. If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. How are you going to have the confidence to do it? You're going to do it. How is it you're going to have this light shine into your life if you hold to Jesus' teachings? Sometimes you have to do it to get it, to really understand it. And when you start doing what Jesus has taught you to do, you begin letting the light in your life. The light will then shine into those dark places. And when the light shines into those dark places, Jesus says, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I just ask you to think about the things that may be enslaving you in your life, the darkness enslaving you in your life, and just ask you to look deep in yourself and ask, do I really want light or do I want darkness? Do I want the fullness that Jesus has promised me or just half fullness? Let's stand and sing.